the furnace heated 7 times hotter than usual and commanded some of the strongest soldiers in his army to tie up these 3 guys and throw them into the blazing furnace. So these men, wearing their robes, trousers, turbans, and other clothes, were bound and thrown into the blazing furnace. The king's command was so urgent and the furnace was so hot that the flames of the fire killed the soldiers who took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And these 3 men, firmly tied, fell into the blazing furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar leapt to his feet in amazement and asked his advisors, "Weren't there 3 men that we tied up and threw into the fire?" They replied, "Certainly, your majesty." He said, "Look, I see 4 men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the 4th looks like the Son of God." Nebuchadnezzar then approached the opening of the blazing furnace and shouted, "Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, servants of the Most High God, come out, come here." He wasn't going to put any more guys there that could end up dead. And so these 3 guys came out of the fire, and the satraps, prefects, governors, and royal advisors crowded around them. They saw the fire had not harmed their bodies, nor was the hair of their heads singed. Their robes were not scorched, and there was not even a smell of fire on them. Is that possible, Vaughan, in the natural? Not a chance. 7 times hotter than what it normally is. Then Nebuchadnezzar said, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted him and defied the king's command and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God. Therefore, I decree." Oh, Lord. I touched this thing in the wrong place. I jumped away. "I decree that the people of any nation or language who say anything against the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego will be cut into pieces and their houses will be turned into piles of rubble, for no other God can save this way." This morning, the title of my message is, we need to develop the ability to live in the fire. We need to develop the ability to live in the fire. And not only can we be living in the fire, but we need a fire in our hearts. If we don't have fire in our hearts, we won't live in the fire. We'll be burnt to a crisp. We need to be fanning that fire in our hearts into huge flames. It's not going to happen on its own. It's only going to happen as we partake and we fan this fire. You know what the problem is? Is when you have a fire, you need a furnace. You can't just have a fire laying out there in the open. And so the hotter the fire, the more dependent we become on God's grace and His strength in our life. So what does a furnace need? Oxygen, for me, airflow, which speaks of the Holy Spirit just blowing through the furnace. We need fuel. What's the fuel? The fuel is our hearts. Have we got soft wood or have we got hard wood? Is it going to burn out quickly or is it going to sustain our fire? You only get good wood by applying yourself to the disciplines that God has for us. And I don't say that out of a place of legalism. I say it out of a place of having served God for 36 years. Most people get to 5 or 6 and they backslide and fall away from God. I've walked through the furnace. And I want to tell you that a furnace is not a once-off. What we have been through this week as a fellowship, all the sickness and stuff that has come against this congregation is because of what happened last weekend, but we've had a furnace now to walk through. Nebuchadnezzar says, "What God do you bow to?" So this morning I want to ask you, what God do you bow to? Do you bow to an image of gold? Or do you bow to Almighty God? Because you know what? Many of us at different times of our life have bowed our knee to the wrong thing. And you know what? When God delivers us, it will be without the smell of smoke. You won't carry forward anything out of what happens in the furnace because God has delivered you. It hasn't been your own strength. Serving our God is not a bunch of methods and procedures. So yes, as I prayed this morning, we were praying about passion. Passion is not just obedience. Passion is obedience plus love. So there are times when we're walking in the love of God and it's easier and we're flowing across with what we do. And there are times when we walk in obedience because we're going through difficult times and we're putting one foot in front of the other because we are being obedient to God's word, knowing that He's going to look after us. We need to walk with our Father. We'll look at that just now. Look at the relationships that God had with Adam, and He had with Enoch, and He looked with and Noah. Guys in the Old Testament, living without the Holy Spirit, and we live in the New Testament with the Holy Spirit, we should be able to achieve much more than what those guys did. If we want to push forward in God and to keep that fire burning in our heart. Because you know what? While you're in the furnace, it's actually easier to keep that fire going. Because like, hey, there's sickness. Come, let's pray against it. Let's stand together. But now all that stops and calms down. And we go home, and there's no sickness, and there's no nothing, and we're in a time of peace. And suddenly we drop our guard. And the word says that after the devil had fought Jesus in the desert, it says he waited for an opportune moment. You know when it's an opportune moment? It's when you let your guard down. Instead of a fire in your heart, you suddenly find yourself in a furnace. I thought what Taryn spoke about this morning, that takes you from walking with God into the furnace. If you succumb to that temptation, it becomes sin. And then you are in the furnace. Reading the book of Jonah recently, and it says, whenever we sin, God throws a storm at it, and the people around us are affected. Remember, he got put on the ship, and the sailors were there, and the storm came against them, and the storm only stopped and once they threw Jonah off the boat. You can't run from God. You cannot run from God. If you sin or if you do something foolish, the furnace is coming. You think, oh, that's not the God I serve. You know what? God cannot tolerate sin. When his son hung on the cross, it says Jesus said, "Why have you forsaken me?" And why was that? It's because Jesus had the sin of the world upon him, and God could not look at him and looked away. I want to tell you something. You don't want God to look away from you, because that is an opportune moment for the devil. So if you want to push forward in God and keep the fire burning, we need to develop some abilities. That word ability means a skill to do something, a talent or a proficiency in a particular area. I want to tell you that some of us are skilled in the wrong areas. If you're doing stuff that's not of God, you are skilled in the wrong area and you're going to get hurt. I speak from experience, guys. I've been hurt. I don't speak from a place of never having done something foolish. No, I've sinned. When have I sinned, babe? When I've shouted at my wife in anger. When she doesn't want to do something the way I want it done, or she doesn't want to do what I want done. And so I try to enforce on her my will. This is many years ago. We've worked on that. We've been married 36 years now. We've had a while. Okay, so what abilities do we need to fan the fire? We need to develop the ability to hear God. I want to ask you today, can you hear God? Do you hear God? Or don't you hear God? There are many ways that you can hear God. I find that the way that he uses with me most of the time is the word of God. And so I spend time in the word because I want God to speak to me. If you don't spend a lot of time in the word, you must have another way of hearing God. If you don't, you're heading for the furnace. Because you know what? When you can hear God, you know what to implement. When you can hear God, you know what to do. When you can hear God, you know what to stop. Terence spoke about temptation. You get tempted, but you stop, and you know what to do. I remember one day I was walking in Benoni still, so it's quite a while ago. We were walking outside Builder's Warehouse, me and Patty. I'd gone there to buy something. Builder's Warehouse, one of my favorite places, all the tools and the pieces of stuff, and it's like Christmas for me when I go into Builder's Warehouse. I love game as well, all those type of places. But as we walked out the door, I saw this roll of notes. There was a lot of money there. It wasn't 20 bucks. And I said to Patty, "Hey, babes, should I pick this up?" So between us, we're talking. She says, "Yeah, maybe you should pick it up and take it to the teller." I said, "Well, then it's not going any further than the teller. I'm going to go in the pocket there." I said, "You know what? If somebody has lost this, their biggest opportunity to get it back is to come to retrace their steps. Because people were walking past it, they didn't even see it." And so I just left it there. And we actually prayed and said, "Hey, Lord, bring that guy back. I don't know if he came." We went and looked later and it was gone. So either the guy or somebody else, but not me. You know what? It's easier to hear God because you're part of a bigger family. We can go to one another and say, "What do you think? Before you make the mistake, what do you think? Should we implement this or should we not? What should we do?" And guys, I want to tell you something. Don't come to me, and I think it's like this with Andre and Ruin as well. Don't come to us and tell us what you're doing and then want us to help you make a decision. Come to us, tell us what the thing is, and then we'll give you our advice. It doesn't mean it's the right advice, but we'll give you our advice. And as those that God has put over this congregation, He's given us authority to, and He's given us wisdom to make right decisions. But don't just come and say, oh, yeah, you know what, we're moving house. Oh, really? Maybe you should have asked first. It's not a control thing. We're trying to help you hear God. Because as soon as you don't hear God and you make the wrong mistake, then you really don't hear God. People come to me and they say, I can't hear God. I say, what was the last thing you heard God say to you? Well, go back there and do it. Because generally they just don't want to do what God has told them. Revelation says in many places, he that has an ear, hear what the Lord is saying. You know what? God is a speaking God. We're just not opening our ears. Patty said to me, don't be too hard today. I said, babes, Easter weekend's very hard. Jesus had to die for us. We can't forget that stuff. And he even took a blow on the head from his sister. God, over here, when you oaks were. But fortunately, won. I was checking their theology out. If he didn't win, I had something wrong with that. You guys are not hearing God. Noah. Got very specific instructions in the Old Testament how to build the ark. Moses got very specific instructions how to build the tabernacle. You go and read it and you'll see the specifics of what they had to do. David's temple. Go and look at it. He wasn't even allowed to build it. His son Solomon had to build it, but he was given the blueprint for that thing to happen. Okay, next ability. Develop the ability to obey what you hear no matter what. Not like our dog, we tell it not to wee on the carpet and it does. Doesn't obey. Are we ready, Anita? We're going to all jump up and carry her out there. You see, if she comes to us and says, can you have the baby? We're going to say, yes, go! Every time I see them walk into the building again, I think, oh no. But God must be thinking, let's keep them in the furnace a little longer. We don't know what that baby needs inside there. We think we know. I'm so proud of her hanging in there for natural birth. I'm proud of them. Patty had three boys, and the lightest was 4.3 kgs. Patty's going like this, because I know they're all ladies, and that's your choice. I'm proud of her. You should not hear contrary to what the church is hearing. So the church is all going like this, and I don't know if you saw this morning, there was a lot of like, we're walking through the furnace. It started off in prayer, and it went on, and it was like, hey, we got to go for this thing. And then you come out, oh, the Lord loves you. Yes, he loves you. That's why you're in the furnace. We got to hear together, guys. Your wife needs to hear with you. Sometimes the husbands need to hear with the wives. Guys, if we get that thing the wrong way around, husbands and wives, we're going to go in the furnace. We're going to burn. Marriage is a high value in God's sight. He actually uses it as a picture of the bride of Christ. I know most of you, and I think most of you have got, I don't know how healthy, but the guys are leading. Is Andrew leaving, Teresa? Hey, Andrew. Babes, am I allowed to carry on? Who's the leader? Enoch. If you want to obey God, you got to walk in relationship with Him. You know what? If you don't know me and I don't know you, we're not going to communicate the way that we should. Because a bridge, for me, a relationship is like a bridge. And it can only handle the amount of weight. So if it's a 10-ton bridge, it can only handle 10 tons. So if you come with a 12-ton truth, the bridge is going to collapse. And so it's our responsibility to work at those bridges. For me, bridges are relationships. I'm delighted because I've started to build relationships with the guys in this church. It hasn't been long enough yet. I haven't put much weight on any of our relationships yet. I think Andre, I have. Me and Andre, because of that, we're closer. Build those relationships. You know what? Sometimes we've got very superficial relationships. They've been for a long time, but they're like one-ton bridges. And as soon as we put weight on there, boom! And I want to say to you, there's only three of us and wives. So you need to make the effort and push into us. Those that come to me, I'm more than happy to speak and whatever level. Vaughn's like in for trouble because he's told me he wants to be accountable to me. We spoke about accountability when I first came here, and we started off with a surge. But it seems to have, like, we need to carry on. You know what happens when we remember we're speaking about we must develop the ability to obey no matter what. We don't like it when we get a something in opposition to what we're talking about. You know what? I can just imagine this scenario. Jesus, God, and the Holy Spirit sitting in heaven. And if you go and read Genesis 1, it tells you that they created the heavens and the earth. And so they're sitting there, and I don't think God the Father said to Jesus, "It's time to go down." I think Jesus said to the Father, "It's time I go down." And he was the one that was going to suffer. So it says that Jesus came down, he laid aside his majesty. And a long story short, he allowed, it wasn't that they could do it if he didn't want. There were many times before it was his time to die on the cross, they tried to grab him and he just walked through them. He allowed them to put him on that cross. We saw that depicted last weekend. But then when it came time, that scream of Tedelesta, it is finished. The battle was won. He came down off the cross. All he is laid in the tomb, and he came out of the tomb. He went down into hell. And it says he destroyed the works of the devil. And then he came back to show himself to the people that he was resurrected. And then he said, now I go to heaven so that I can send the Holy Spirit, the promise of God. Because I'm limited to one body, but the Holy Spirit can affect and touch many at the same time. That's obedience. Obedience is when you actually offer to do it before the person asks you. I know, I've been in those situations when, like, now the pressure's on, somebody's going to be asked, and you're thinking, I hope it's not me. But we should be the one that, yes, I'll do it. God's called us to be different. To obey, we need to be in a close relationship with God. Otherwise, that bridge is going to collapse. Third thing, develop the ability to not compromise, no matter who it is. There's no fire without a furnace. And sometimes we have to go through the furnace to grow. Jeez, ask me. Had a heart attack when I was 46. How long ago? 3 years ago, I had a triple bypass, open heart surgery. Struggled with depression. Sometimes, I'm not saying God uses sickness, but you know what? I don't understand. Sometimes people go through stuff that I don't think they should go through. But God grows you in that circumstance. When you go through, you will come out not smelling of smoke. I don't smell of smoke, but I can't do some things because my chest was hacked open. It's a reminder. Guys, I want to tell you something. I sometimes neglect to tell this part of the story. I had a lot of arrogance in my life. I knew too much. Spoke down to people. God says that he gives grace to the humble and he opposes the proud. Let me tell you, when God starts to oppose you, you're in trouble. Big trouble. So you need to be, in the Old Testament, you know that the Levites were not allowed to perspire. Sort of lines up with no smoke, no perspire. So as soon as I start perspiring, I tell Patty, no, I'm not allowed to do this. You know what? Not subtle or blatant. Enemy. I tell you where the most pressure is going to come from. Well, the most pressure in my life has come from my own family. Yo, I've had to kick them to the curb on a few occasions. And then still try and love them over and above that. Friends. Put you under pressure. Oh, come on, man. Have that third glass of wine. Gee, should I do this or not? Should I... You know what I've done? Maybe it's just a handle to help you. Is I don't put myself in those situations. The ability to stand against intimidation. First Peter 5:8 says, be alert and of sober mind. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Resist him, standing firm in the faith, because you know that the family of believers throughout the world is undergoing the same kind of sufferings. He's a roaring lion. He's looking for flesh in your life to devour. Anything that's not of God, he wants to eat it. I won't tell the story, Patty hates it, where the lions eat the buffaloes. It's one of my favorite stories. But she doesn't like animal stories. People can die, but not animals. In the movies, they can die, but not in real life. Oh. But you know what? The one thing that stands out for me is the buffalo that gets taken out by the lion is the one on the edge. It's the one that's not part of the group. It's the one that's on its own. What do? James 4:7, submit yourselves to God, then to the devil. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. Submit yourselves to God. People often just quote that scripture about, oh, resist the devil and he has to flee. No, if you're not in submission to God, you can resist and resist, but he's not going to go anywhere. Because it's not your authority, it's God's authority. I just wrote you, don't find yourself here under attack. And you're not in a relationship with God. Because then you are in trouble. You're in trouble. Okay, I'm just going to put these things. I'm not going to speak on them. Develop the ability to repent. God wants us to live in the light, not in the dark. Matthew 3:8 says, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Don't tell me you've repented and you're still doing the same thing. Fruit is, when you repent, you stop doing what you were doing before. You change. Develop the ability to be and stay humble. I quoted the scripture just now. God opposes the proud. It's James 4:6. It actually comes just before the submit to God. But he gives us more grace. That's why the scripture says, God opposes the proud, but shows favor to the humble. Okay, then the last one I've got here is, develop the ability to trust or to have faith in God. Faith in his faithfulness, not faith in your faith. Some people have got faith in their own faith, but they haven't got faith in the faithfulness of God to come through. How do you know these people? Because they'll tell you that they trust in God, but at the same time, they're trying to make it happen in their own strength. So they're thinking, oh, God can't do this, I'll do it for them. But they'll tell us, I've got faith. No, God is faithful. And we need to put our faith in a faithful God. Otherwise, we're going to get ourselves into trouble. Come, Justine. Justine had this word while we were praying, and it just so fitted in with this morning.
So, during the prayer meeting, the Lord gave me a picture of two trees, and both of these trees were big and flourishing and green and the one tree had fallen over, and the Lord showed me that the one that was still standing, the roots were deep and healthy, and they're, you know, like really deeply rooted in. The other one's roots were dead, so the tree had then fallen over, so there's nothing holding it in place. And I felt the Lord say to me that, you know, sometimes we join a church or we come and visit and we meet the Lord, we get saved, and then he starts to root us into that church where we can build a good foundation. And then somewhere along the line, those roots start to die because coming to church becomes a tick the box kind of thing, you know? And you come on a Sunday, you tick the box, okay, I was at church, you go home, you don't think about the message, you don't do anything, you don't apply anything, you just carry on with your life in your own steam. And that's what happens when your roots start to die. So I just felt that it was a caution that the Lord is saying, make sure your roots are healthy rather than dying.
So this morning I want to use that actually as a word of knowledge. Because I believe there are some people here that have maybe allowed their roots to die. And I don't have to try and put pressure on you. You know who you are right now as I'm talking. You know who you are, that you've begun to allow your roots to die. And you know what? Once your roots start dying, it's only a matter of time and you will fall over. Because big trees catch the most wind. And if the roots are not great, the tree's going to go down. Yesterday, Patty and I were walking along the promenade at Strand. And the most ridiculous thing, I used to surf when I was young. But I used to surf big surf. I surfed at Cave Rock on the Natal coast, and it's known for its size. And it's when you surf here with a mountain on this side, and you know that you've got a problem when you turn to face the sea and the mountain is bigger than this mountain. And then the paddling just starts. On the Strand, there's these funny little waves. And there's a whole clump of oaks trying to ride this wave. There's like these little waves. Patsy said, why are they all clumped there together? I thought, well, I know where I used to save was where the waves started breaking. That's where the oaks would congregate. But these waves were like breaking all over the show. Tiny little ones. And I felt God say to me, there are people that have lost their focus. And they're focusing on these funny little waves. Instead of paddling out into the deep water, not that there were any, but there were only small waves when I surfed near the shore. As you paddled out into the deep water, the waves were bigger. And I just felt God saying, people have lost their focus. And because they've lost their focus, they've lost their vision of the bigness of what God wants to do in their life. God's got something so big for you that He wants to do in your life. And so this morning, I wonder if you could pray for me, Tian. Just by the way, worship was really good. If you fit into those two categories where you think that the roots are busy dying, and you'll know, you're struggling in your walk with God, you're struggling at work, you're struggling in your marriage, everything is a struggle. Your roots are busy dying. Because you know what the word says? It says that the joy of the Lord is our strength. If there isn't joy in your life, you're not going to have any strength. And that saying is in the book of Nehemiah. They're busy building a wall, and the enemy's coming against them. And it says they were trying to rob us of the joy of the Lord. But it was their strength, and they built that wall until it was finished. So this morning, losing focus, losing vision will cause you to lose your joy. Losing your roots will also cause you to lose your joy. So I wonder this morning, every head bowed. First of all, if there's anyone here that's never received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if there's anyone that like that this morning, remembering Jesus came down, He hung on a cross, He redeemed us, took away our sin, and He went back to heaven, He's resurrected. If you've never surrendered your life to that man, Jesus Christ, I wonder if you could stick your hand up. I want to pray for you this morning. Is there anyone like that? Think about it. Is there anyone like that?